What's up, everybody? Mike Caluzzi here, Pro Tips to Grow Your Biz. As you guys know, I am a business coach, entrepreneur, and attorney who helps you to navigate through business transitions. You can find me at mikecaluzzi.com, which is really, really simple. You can shoot me an email at mike@mikecaluzzi.com so we can set up a nice little intro meeting so we can talk about what you're going through and how I may be able to assist you through those processes. So I am here today with an amazing guest who is so apropos for anyone who is in business, whether you are currently in business, looking to get into business. Obviously, taxes and payroll is a huge thing to be able to set yourself up for success from the very, very beginning. My guest today is Charles J. Reed. He is a CPA. He is a U.S. tax court practitioner. He's a member of the Internal Revenue Service Advisory Council and the founder of his company, Get Payroll. You can find that at getpayroll.com. He is an accomplished senior executive and an entrepreneur in his own right, with more than 50 years experience as a financial practitioner and leader to give people advice and counsel in a broad range of industries. He is the author of 4 books. The most recent book that he has written is The Payroll Book, a guide for small businesses and startups that we will provide a special offer for all of you who are listening and pay attention so you can get a copy of that book for free. So stay tuned and through the whole process of this podcast so you can learn more about that. So Charles, welcome to Pro Tips to Grow Your Biz.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming in. So we're going to delve into a few things. Obviously, some of the fundamentals that I think would be very, very applicable, Charles, for the folks who I work with most oftentimes, service-based professionals, primarily entrepreneurs, business owners, who are in a situation where they're either voluntarily or, like I said, involuntarily facing some type of career transition. So a lot of the people who I serve are people who are really, really good, who possibly say an attorney, or an engineer, left brain oriented folks who've done well in a career and always wanted to kind of go out on their own, but have that nagging sense of anxiety and frustration about the uncertainty of kind of moving forward without that perceived safety net, right? And I'm sure you can relate to that on many,
very
many
much
levels.
So,
first off, why don't you give us a little bit, about your background? Because you have obviously 50 years as a business owner and in a space that is so valuable to so many. Why don't you give people a little bit of a flair about your background?
Sure. I'm a Midwestern boy. I grew up in Iowa. Graduated from high school, wasn't ready for college, joined the United States Marine Corps, spent 4 years, 2 years overseas, including a combat tour in Vietnam. Came back, was stationed in Kansas City, met and married my wife, Ruth. She had 5 kids when I married her. I claim insanity, but we were married for 45 years before she passed. It was a good marriage. Found out that business didn't really, after I got out of service, believe that my military skills and training were of any value to them. It was as bad then as it is now. So I went to college and got my credentials, got my BBA, my MBA, sat for and passed my CPA exam while I was still in graduate school. Had to work for Texas Instruments. And I spent 15 years in the corporate world. Texas Instruments, other companies, small, big, privately held, publicly held, did turnarounds, startups. Ended up at JCPenney's, another huge corporation. And then went from there to a franchise operation where I ended up buying what was the original franchise, which was the start of my business. And the reason I went into business for myself is I realized I was never going to be what I wanted to be in corporate world. I was never going to run a major corporation. I did not have the political skills. I was unwilling to stab people in the back and toss them off the ladder. So if I was going to run a business, I'd have to start my own. And I wanted to run a business. I grew up in a family business. not that I wanted to work with my father, but you know, it's a whole different story. So Ruth and I started our own business here just over 30 years ago and have gone through what many of your clients go through, is that transition from corporate world to being an entrepreneur, which is a huge transition. So that's been 30 years now. It was a mobile accounting service with a payroll business built in. About 10 years ago, I sold off the accounting to my partner and just run a payroll company now. We're national. We're one of the smaller national firms and having a good time.
It's an outstanding story, and it's nice and succinct. And you know, you summed up an enormous amount of time in a fairly short segment, which is always good. You know, you're very definite with your words, which is great, and I appreciate that very much. So let me ask you this question, Charles. I mean, you've seen it all, right, over the course of your career, I'm sure. In the time that you've just say this within the last 30 years, what trends have come and gone? What trends have changed to make, you know, life in 2022 different than what it was like back in 92?
Well, technology has continued to change. I remember when fax machines first came in, they're now obsolete. Emails, the internet. We got on the internet fairly early, but that was still mid to late 90s. So the technology, and if you don't keep up with technology, you're going to get left behind, pure and simple. I mean, YouTube didn't exist. We do videos constantly now. So all these changes in technology. Then the next biggest change is what we now call the gig economy. The solo entrepreneur. The entrepreneurial urge has gotten bigger and stronger, and technology has made it more capable. You can now deal with clients around the country with ease. You can Zoom call with anybody, basically, anytime you choose, and have a face-to-face conversation. You can transmit data back and forth. So the ability to work from anywhere, as you know, has made life different. Particularly because of COVID, now works from home part of the week. All of them do. They love. I'm not sure about it some days, but
working from home.
We have metrics in place, so we're happy.
But it's crazy. Not to interrupt you there, but you know, to riff on that for a moment. I find personally, I've been on my own now since, in one form or another, since about 2000. And so, 22 years. And working from home obviously does have its advantages, obviously, that show up in many, many ways. But I do feel that there's a disconnect that happens that we as business owners, small business owners and entrepreneurs have to intentionally make sure that we are staying in tune with, you know, who some of our core audience really is, or our core clients. Now, obviously, because of COVID, there's been this whole shift, because now, you know, once the community, which was once reporting to work, right, each day at the office is now, you know, converting or, you know, they're commuting right from their bedroom to their home office. And I think the jury's out for me as to whether or not I think that's going to be a good thing long-term. I think that I see that the lack of connection, and I get, and I understand and appreciate all the technology and how it's played. But what are your thoughts on how has it maybe impacted even with your clients as far as that overall transition? Have you seen them kind of adapt in a positive way, negative way, indifferent? What's your thoughts?
Mostly in a positive way, but the jury's still out on this as far as I'm concerned. I tend to think some of it will become more permanent, and that there will be that. But there is, you know, corporate culture is extraordinarily important in the success of a business or its failure. And if you don't have a good culture, you don't get optimum results out of your staff. So maintaining a culture at distance is far, far, far more difficult to me than maintaining it in the office, where I can walk around and talk to anybody, share a confidence, a cup of coffee. You know, I can look at people and know if they're upset, if they're having problems, if they're ill. I can do that in person. Doing that over a computer connection is much more difficult. And so I think the culture suffers. In our particular firm, our people do work from home part of the week, but they're in part of the week. All of them are. Nobody is permanently separate. I think that is going to cause more and more problems as you get people at longer distances and you're only going to be able to see them or interact with them occasionally. They're effectively gig workers. They're not part of the corporate culture. And I think that's a major change in how that's going to shake out. I don't know. No idea. If I could procrastinate that properly, I'd be a rich man.
Yeah, right. No, I understand. But well, I think what's interesting, you know, with your practice and your business is your awareness of and obviously forecasting the importance of not only the gig economy, but also what's happening with the space of alternate currencies, obviously cryptocurrency. You know, what I loved and people, when they go to your website, getpayroll.com, one of the first things they're going to see is that you are the first firm that I'm aware of that offers an employee Bitcoin savings plan, which I thought was so unique because it's so forward thinking. Tell me a little bit about the history of the story behind, you know, the green light on offering that to the to your customers and clients.
Well, it actually came to us a few months ago that, you know, crypto is a bigger and bigger thing and more people are interested in it. And it occurred to me that there would be people that would like to do investing, with, particularly through dollar cost averaging of into crypto. And there's just was no way to do it. So I started looking around, talking to people in the crypto industry. I mean, I talked to a lot of crypto investors at the poker table because I got a lot of younger guys at the poker club and the card house. And so there, a lot of them are into crypto. They're gamblers as such. So there's a lot of that. And I'm very familiar with it, and I've used it. And it just seemed to me that it would be a great thing. So I started looking around. We found NYDIG, who has set up for private companies to do payroll that for their payroll, internal payroll, to be able to do that. But there was no one in the service industry, in the service market, payroll service market, that was doing it. So we talked to NYDIG and set up a system and a plan and got a contract in place, tested it with my own payroll and my people's payroll. It worked. It's through a national bank, so there's no transmission risk. And then it's converted with NYDIG, which is an established operation, and it's cold storage, which is much, much safer.
I don't mean to interrupt you there for a minute. But let me just do this, if I could. I don't want to go too far. I mean, look, you can take it as far as you want, but like you've raised a few points, particularly with respect to cold storage. That's a big, big thing, particularly, I know for me, with my crypto holdings that, you know, were basically being held, you know, in a, with a, you know, a large firm where it wasn't cold storage. You know, like Coinbase, you know, you get 2 weeks ago, you're seeing the news headlines about crypto and that Coinbase is because of you know, the what's happening in the current crypto market, they were facing possible bankruptcy. And he basically said, hey, look, these are basically custodial accounts. And if there, we have bankruptcy, your crypto holdings may be subject to forfeiture or subject to their. So that was like, whoa, that was a huge wake up call, where for guys like me and so many other small business people who have been getting into crypto, understanding to your point that we have to kind of stay ahead and be tied in with technology. But all of a sudden I'm scrambling around trying to figure out what the hell to do so that I don't lose my investment. So that being the case, could you kind of just talk a little bit more about what that means, cold storage?
Well, cold storage, of course, is the coin is in a single place. It's not leveraged like many of the exchanges do, where they say you hold the Bitcoin, but they only have, you know, they've leveraged that just like in the stock market for, you know, in the stock market, it's 2-to-1 or 1-to-1. In the most recent disaster, it looked like leverage was about 10-to-1. So they were only holding $1 for every $10 of coin that they said they owned, and they didn't own it. In cold storage, that Bitcoin is owned. It's not going to go away. It is secured. It will survive bankruptcy. It will survive market. It may not, the value may not stay the same if the market falls, but your Bitcoin is safe. And that's very comforting if you're using that as an investment. So it's much, much safer in cold storage than in a wallet at some exchange someplace. Now we're getting ready to offer some wallets and some exchanges and some additional coins for those people who want it. But for those who want to do investing in Bitcoin, we offer cold storage, which is much safer.
That's really a good point. And I guess what's it been since you said it's been a few months and you said, hey, it came up in your poker circle. So that's really cool. And I think that happens a lot of times in business. You know, I'm very much tied into creating business communities where you get to know guys and you get to know baseball and you get to do business with people who, yeah, you build relationships with that just go beyond just a card exchange and things like that. So obviously you were in a situation where the concept of crypto kind of came through, like you said, the poker scenario. So how long did it take you to kind of say, okay, you know what? Because your background, obviously, as a tax court practitioner and a CPA, I mean, your level of analysis and level of understanding as far as the process goes is far, far different than, you know, the average person who really doesn't know the dynamics of it all. So what was it for you where you say, you know what, this is something that I have to really get involved in and know better for my clients? I mean, and even for you, you said you got yourself involved. So
I've been in crypto a couple of years now, so I'm very familiar with that. I'm also, and it's not in my resume, I used to carry a 766 security license. I've been doing security analysis since I was 14 years old. Hmm. So I know how to research a security product and companies and analyze equities and the stocks and so on. So I took that same expertise and applied it to this and looked for an operation that was solid, trusted, established, had the controls in place and the legal framework to make sure that my clients' employees, their investment was protected. The last thing I want to do is be associated with some fly-by-night outfit. So it was very important to me to fully analyze the situation and find the best, what I felt was the best alternatives and opportunities for my clients' employees. And that's why we went with NYDIG and tested it, used my own money to test it. You know, I've got my own account, part of my payroll goes into it, and we watch it and see how it goes and test it and so on. So we're very, very pleased with our association there.
So what's your take on kind of the current climate with respect to Bitcoin, alternate cryptocurrencies, it's obviously you've been in it many, you know, several years, so you're, I'm sure, familiar with the volatility of it all. Are you? Would you say that what's going on now is, are there any, let's just say, maybe unique indicators or unique factors that are currently impacting crypto values that are new that may not have occurred previously, or people should be concerned with, without just simply saying, it fluctuates every, you know, all the time. It's, and I'll just deal with it. I mean, what's your analysis on things?
First of all, it's a fiat currency, but all currencies are fiat if they're not gold or silver. So there's no intrinsic value in a Bitcoin. There's no intrinsic value in a dollar bill either.
Right.
So it's subject to the same vagaries of the market that any other currency is, and any other investment. And I think the most recent pullback in values, the stock market, NASDAQ was down 3% this morning. So, which is huge.
Yeah.
But that happens. We've had crashes and we've had booms. We've had bull markets and bear markets. You know, the old saw in the stock market is bears make money, bulls make money, and pigs get slaughtered. So if you're going to invest in Bitcoin or any crypto, you have to invest for the long term. But you need to understand that it is a fiat currency. It's not a company. It doesn't produce automobiles or washing machines or anything else. It's a store of value, and stores of value that are fiat change. Value goes up and down. And if you aren't willing to put up with that happening, that's not the place to put your money.
Right. Now, with your savings plans, are you giving your clients counsel as far as what coins that they're investing in? Is there a range to which they can invest in?
Currently, our first offering is Bitcoin only.
Okay.
Now, we have just recently signed a contract with another company. It's going to offer Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin. And over time, this will grow, and we'll be able to offer more coins and wallets and exchanges and become more full service for this. But there's always a starting point. The starting point was a Bitcoin savings plan. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing that we are offering as of today. Tomorrow may be different.
And what profile client are you seeing who have been receptive to this?
The under 40 crowd. Okay.
And like any particular size of business or any type of industry that you seem to be trending more than others?
It tends to be smaller firms. It tends to be entrepreneurial firms. It tends to be younger entrepreneurs. It tends to be technology. Okay. Because these are the people that are more familiar with all the concepts of blockchain technology and computerized and computer transfers and all these things. Old farts like me, you know, it's a little more of a stretch.
Well, I gave you major props. Like I told you, I think it was phenomenal. And I was, you know, looking into your company and looking to the services that you provide. I thought it was outstanding that you're really ahead of the curve, and you are moving forward, understanding that this is not, I'm no financial analyst, I'm no expert, but I don't think this is a trend. This is not going to be something that's going to fade away. I mean, it's here, it's there, you know, obviously, you know, you're talking about US coin. I mean, they're stable coins. I am, again, no expert in it, but I'm learning more and more each day. And, you know, I've invested in a variety of different coins. I did go from the very beginning knowing that it was going to be long-term. And like I said, with the exception of, again, as you're in the playing field, we get to learn. Like I was, you know, last week that was like or 2 weeks ago, that was a little scary, I'm going to tell you. I mean, I remember I was in my office and kind of just cranking away, texting some of my buddies. So I'm like, okay, what the hell do we do here? And that was the first time I really got to understand the concept of cold storage. And, you know, these are so, so important for people to know as, you know, we move forward. And I guess another aspect of this is obviously how people are dealing with it from a, you know, a attack scenario.
I was on the IRS Advisory Council, and we had a major discussion with the IRS about crypto and how it was being taxed and how they were treating it. That's not settled yet. There's going to be more and more changes in the tax law concerning crypto as it becomes more common. And the IRS, though the last few years they've had to move quickly because of some of the COVID related things, they don't move quickly on a normal basis. I mean, it takes them several years to redesign a form.
Right.
Okay. So expect the tax situation in crypto to continue to change for the foreseeable future, because none of these things have really gotten to tax court or district court and all the complications. As the IRS takes a position, people take a contrary position. They argue, the lawyers get involved, it goes to court, it goes to district court, it goes to appeals court, it goes to circuit court, whatever. You know the terms better than I do. It ends up finally in the Supreme Court, and they say, this way.
And well, you know, it's interesting because, I am not a tax attorney by any stretch, but I, obviously, you know, with respect to tax rulings, you know, and the precedent that's being set versus, where jurisdictionally speaking, it raises a whole lot of interesting questions that, again, I'm nowhere near, the one to really delve too deeply into it. But as someone who is has enough knowledge to at least know what I don't know, and I can see kind of what's going on, and I said, wow, this is going to be a very interesting dynamic. And, you know, you're someone who again, I always give people credit who, like, look, you faced a, when you, your career choice, right? It was one wherein, talk about someone who understands, okay, let me lean into facing the music as opposed to avoidance. I mean, that's really, you know, that's such a powerful thing because it empowers you to know really how to navigate as opposed to live in fear and anxiety associated with taxes and audits and just what we don't know. And I think, you know, as so many people, and I'm sure you can tell me, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean, would it be fair to say that most folks who you speak to, you know, their approach towards taxes and preparation, it's right. They're trying, you know, they want to live the ostrich life, right? They don't want to deal with it.
That is so true. I have clients who will get letters from the IRS and they won't open them. They'll put them on a shelf until they see me and then they'll hand them all to me. Okay. They don't want to open them. They don't want to deal with them. When we were first in business, we'd get, because I take a 2848, which is a limited power of attorney, which allows me to advocate for my clients with the Internal Revenue Service. It also gets me copies of the correspondence. So when they send out a certified letter to a client, I get a certified letter at the office. Well, we get a certified letter for a client at the office when we were first in business. And my wife, who was working with me, would be horrified that this certified letter from the IRS came in. And I said, sweetheart, no. Be happy, because there's nothing like a certified letter from the IRS to bring clients out of the woodwork. Mm. Okay. They will call me. They will come see me and we can fix the problems.
I tell you what, man, I do feel, being a lawyer for all these years, and I've represented a ton of entrepreneurs and small business guys. And it is, to your point, it's really frightening. And I hate to say it, but I feel that there's a level of lack of awareness even more now than ever. I think that there's just, because there's just so many other variables that I think that business owners are facing that were not really relevant to where we are, you know, where we were, I should say.
The analogy I use is when I grew up, Pelé was the world's best soccer player. Okay. Wonderful athlete, maybe the best soccer player of all time. But if you take Pelé and you put him in a New York Yankees uniform at second base, he's lost. He doesn't know the rules, the equipment, the plays, the players, picking up a ball with your hand. I mean, you know, it's just not done. So you have an attorney, an engineer, an entrepreneur, a businessman who's good at what he does. He makes his clients happy. He's making money. And now you tell him, okay, go deal with the IRS. They're Pelé at second base. They don't know what they don't know. They're lost. They don't know the rules. They don't know the game. And this is the problem entrepreneurs get into with the IRS, is they don't know what they don't know, and they're lost. Mm-hmm. As you've seen in the past, as I see on a daily basis. And that's one of the reasons we're in business, and our real reason for existence is compliance. And we keep our clients out of trouble with the IRS in the States. That's what we do. And when the IRS screws up, and they do, they make millions of mistakes a year. In fiscal 19, there was $13 billion of employment tax penalties. Now, several billion were abated by people like me who knew what they were doing, because the IRS screws up. You got 100,000 civil servants dealing with technology, some of which goes back to the 1960s, and paper. There's a lot of mistakes. And if you don't know how to fix them, you're lost. And you just pay up. That's why we exist.
So guys, again, you know, we're getting close to drawing our time with Charles to a close, but we're talking with Charles Reed. He's a CPA. He's a U.S. tax practitioner. He's a member of the Internal Revenue Service Advisory Council, and he is the founder of GetPayroll.com, which is obviously a payroll service for business owners and entrepreneurs. And if you've been listening up to this point, you know, we've had a very, I hope it was interesting to you, Charles, you know, a conversation that was relative to some of the issues that we're now all facing. You know, many of us who are entrepreneurs, as Charles said, the gig economy, many of us are looking for alternative ways to create income, supplement our income, create more diversity in our income streams, and to, you know, deal with the reality of our current world, which one of my mentors always said, you know, the best way through any problem is to just create, you know, you have to learn to create more revenue as opposed to get overwhelmed with all of the challenges that we all face. So as we wrap up here, Charles, I would love for you to once again tell folks about the book that you have and how they can get it and the best way to connect with you.
The book is The Payroll Book, A Guide for Small Businesses and Startups. If they will go to the payrollbook.com, that's the website for the book, the payrollbook.com, and enter the discount code podcast, we will gladly ship your listeners a free copy of the book. No shipping, no handling, a free book, as long as supplies last. So that's for your listeners, the payrollbook.com, discount code podcast. If they'd like to get with me, I can be reached at cjr@getpayroll.com. That's my email. And if there's something they really need right now, 972-353-0000. That's my phone.
Outstanding. Charles, thanks again. And I really appreciate it. Guys, thanks for tuning in. I'm Mike Caluzzi, and I will talk to you soon.